keeping in the Lord Jesus, yet you are hanging on, holding on, because of the hope that's in you.
Oh, yes.
And that fire that was happening is something that I believe will be noticed.
Glory.
You know, recently my son's house burned down, at least one of the rooms. They live in Los Angeles. And the neighbors noticed.
Oh, come on now.
They noticed that there was a fire, and everybody, they called the fire department and all that. I had this sense from that vision that I saw, that the work that you've been doing here is one that, because you've labored so much, you come through trial and fire.
Jesus.
You have people with kids here.
Jesus.
And all the lives that you've lived during the seasons of
Jesus.
And that the fire of God has brought you through so much, but he's not done with you yet.
Right? Amen.
Because you've persevered. And because of that, I really believe that this area of Grover Beach and the five cities will be noticed because of the fire of God. We're in a season of revival right now.
Yes.
And I believe that the flames of God is extended to Grover Beach. I've been standing with you for that, to see people will notice. And I saw really literally people lined up outside waiting to get into this place because something was happening here that God had been brewing for the longest time.
Glory.
And that it's going to spill out into this community because you've been hanging in there. The fire of God, and your pastor too, I saw him when we met. He was just the flame, the fire of God in this man right here.
Hallelujah.
And it's catching because he's been encouraging. He's been lighting up his eyes with the word of God. And the Holy Spirit is at work here. So that's kind of like what I
was seeing there. Yeah? That's awesome. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Oh, hallelujah. Say, I got that. Say, I received that. Say, that's for me.
Oh, yes, it is. It is. It is. Amen. I want you to turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 3. And I can't say positively that word that he shared with me caused this message to come to me, but it probably didn't hurt. It probably did encourage it. The Holy Spirit has a way of doing that, of putting things together and of putting people together. And we're so thankful for what God is doing. I do believe that we're in a season of a mighty move of God. And I want to catch it. I don't want to miss what God is doing. Don't want to miss it. Luke chapter 3. And this is exactly along the lines of what Brother Dennis was sharing. Luke chapter 3 in verse 15. The Bible says, "And as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not, John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I'm not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." Everybody say, "And with fire." "Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable." Can we look to the Lord in prayer today? Father, thank you for this service. It is a divine appointment. Thank you for each one, Lord, that is here. Holy Spirit, we are hungry and we're thirsty. We thank you, Lord, for the anointing that we sense in this house right now. I'm asking you, Lord, to quicken me and quicken us to receive your word, not just as it is written, but let it be a fire in us. Let it come alive within each one of us, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. I'm not going to say to you probably anything that you haven't heard maybe 100 times. I don't know. But I have found out that my only responsibility before the Lord in hearing is hear what he has to say and say what he is saying. I don't have to try to think up something new. I don't have to try to dig deep to try to impress somebody. All I have to do is hear what God is saying and say what God is saying to me. And this is what I'm hearing the Lord say. As I've been praying and meditating on the Lord through the week, I've been hearing that phrase coming up in my spirit. And it's that phrase, Holy Ghost with fire. Holy Ghost with fire. And I know God is saying something important to us here in Grover Beach, the Pentecostal Church of God. And I'm reading the scripture, and we've read the scripture, where the people are wondering about John, and they're wondering if he's the Christ or not. And he answers them in another place, I am not he, but I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight his paths. Prepare the way of the Lord. He was a forerunner. Now, we know this John is a cousin of Jesus. He's a cousin in the natural, but he doesn't know who Jesus is on the spiritual side. He knows from God. Now, you've got to stay with this part. He knows from God by revelation that someone is coming after him who has a greater ministry than him that will take the people from the point that he has brought them to another level entirely. Now, John knows this, but he does not know who this individual is. And if you question that, all you have to do is go to John chapter 1 and verses 29 through 34. And it says, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and he says, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not. You don't know your own cousin? No, I don't know him this way. I didn't know this part. I didn't know the spiritual part. I didn't know what his part in the whole scheme of things was. But listen to what John said. And I knew him not. I didn't know him, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water unto repentance, is what the other scriptures say. And John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And he says this again, and I knew him not. I didn't know who this was in the spiritual dimension. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, On whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And the other scriptures say, and with fire. Matthew and John, or Luke. So now we know from scripture, John is not fully aware of the ministry of Jesus until he is baptizing him in the Jordan. He sees the Spirit of God descending on Jesus in the form of a dove. Now, what is it that John was told about the Anointed One? He was told something specifically by God that this Anointed One would accomplish. And here's what he tells us. John tells us. He says, He, the one that should come, will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire.
Amen.
Now, John recognized who Jesus was by seeing the Spirit come upon him. Now, when he sees, he's got spiritual vision, and he sees this in the realm of the Spirit. And as he sees this in the realm of the Spirit, all of a sudden his spirit connects, and he knows this is the one the Holy Spirit was talking to me about in the wilderness. This is the one that I was supposed to see. And now I recognize who he is, and he is fulfilling the word of God that God had spoken to John. He told John, you're going to be able to recognize the one who baptizes with Holy Ghost and fire by seeing my spirit come upon him and remaining. Now, John is armed with this knowledge, this revelation knowledge from God. that as he is baptizing in water under repentance, which is basically symbolic of cleansing and salvation, which is a preparatory work and a prerequisite for what is coming. John is baptizing. Now think about this. He doesn't know the one who is going to baptize in Holy Ghost and fire. He doesn't know who the Lamb of God is that takes away the sin of the world. He doesn't know that. And he's baptizing with an understanding that this is my part in the drama. This is my part in the story. I'm going to do my part. And as I'm doing my part, the next one who is preferred before me is going to come and he's going to start doing his part. So now John is baptizing and he's looking. He's baptizing and he's watching because he knows that in fulfilling his commission to baptize under repentance, the one who baptizes with the Holy Ghost and fire will be revealed to him. Now here's my point today. Took a long time to get to this. As John recognized Jesus as the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, by seeing the Spirit come upon him in the form of a dove. Today, we recognize Jesus not by seeing a dove descending upon him, but by the fact that he fulfills John's words. He baptizes with the Holy Ghost and fire. I think if John were here today, he would be saying something like this. He would be saying, I'm baptizing with water under repentance, getting your life right with God, dying to sin, coming alive unto Christ. But don't stop there because the greater one is coming and he's going to bring something greater to you than what I've brought. He has a greater baptism than what I've brought to you. My baptism was with water, but his will be with fire. For when he is come, he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now John says, I recognize him by the dove coming to rest upon him, but you will be able to recognize him because his baptism is a baptism of fire. Everybody say, baptism of fire.
Baptism of fire.
People should be able to know from being around you, hearing you talk, that you have met the baptizer. There should be something about you that undeniably testifies, I have met the baptizer. Because if you have met the baptizer, you will be on fire. Because that's what he does. He baptizes in fire. He plunges us into the fire. Now, if I had a title, and usually most people put their titles at the beginning, but sometimes I don't get to it till the middle. He will baptize you. That's the title. He will baptize you. Jesus is the baptizer. Everybody say, Jesus is the baptizer. John said, he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now that's the phrase that stuck in my spirit this week. He will baptize you with Holy Ghost and with fire. He didn't say, when he has come, he will give you opportunity, or he will suggest, or he will encourage, or he will provide you the option of fire with your baptism. In other words, how would you like your baptism? Would you like a shout or no shout? How would you like your baptism? Do you want yours with tongues or no tongues? Would you like your baptism with tongues and a little bit of fire? Or would you like the full baptism, complete with tongues and fire?
Amen, amen.
Now listen, I know I'm being facetious. And the reason I'm being facetious is because all the things I said are totally ridiculous. There's no option. This baptism by Jesus doesn't come with multiple choice. This Jesus Holy Ghost baptism after salvation baptism comes with fire. And the options are as follows. You either get it with the fire or you don't get it at all.
Now, here's the thing about this Holy Ghost fire baptism. Jesus is the one who does the baptizing. He's the one who does the baptizing, so you have to get close to Jesus. You've got to get close enough for him to get a hold of you and put you under until what he's baptized you into gets into you. Look at somebody say it needs to get in you. Now listen. I've been looking around in the world at this unprecedented evil and the perversity and the hatred and violence. And as I'm looking, I'm being gripped with the reality that hell is no longer what some have called the center of the earth, 1,000 miles beneath us. But in fact, hell is flooding through our entertainment industry. It's flooding through our educational institutions, our government departments, and worst of all, in many of our churches. And it's come in like a tsunami. And I'm not saying this to be depressing or discouraging, but just to state the fact that hell is on the rampage. There's an unholy fire that has been unleashed on the earth. The Bible said the devil knows his time is short, so he has come down upon the earth with great wrath. And sadly, much of the church is absolutely unprepared, unequipped, and frankly powerless. The church without fire is a church without power. Say, I need the fire. Look at your neighbor and say, you really need the fire. Come and lift your hands and say, Holy Ghost, I need the fire. Say, Jesus, baptize me in fire. Now listen to this. Jesus ties the baptism of the Holy Ghost together with fire and power. And if there ever was a time the church needed fire and power, it's today. Sadly, it seems that many in the church are happy and comfortable and satisfied with John's baptism of water, just repenting and just getting saved. But they've got a problem with the Jesus baptism of Holy Ghost and fire. Say, I want Jesus' baptism.
I want Jesus' baptism.
Amen. I'm going to go out on a limb, way out on a limb today, and I'm going to say this. You better wake up.
Yeah.
Because if you don't have some Holy Ghost fire burning down inside your belly, I'm afraid in 2023, 2024, you're not going to make it. Either this church of 2023 is going to get a fresh baptism of Holy Ghost and fire and power, or the devil is going to run us over like a Mack truck.
Yes.
Jesus knew the church could not survive without the Holy Ghost and fire. Jesus knew that without power from on high, the church was no match for hell from below. Jesus did not suggest that his disciples receive power from on high. He demanded it. He said, don't go anywhere. Don't do anything until you have gone to Jerusalem and until you have received the Holy Ghost, fire, and power from heaven. But I say, I need the power. He said, you go to Jerusalem and you stay there however long it takes. But you don't leave there until you're endued with power from on high. Somebody said, how am I going to know when you got power? How am I going to know when I got it? You know. Look at somebody, tell me, you'll know. When I got the Holy Ghost, nobody had to say, that's it. Hear somebody sometimes they'll say, that's it, that's the Holy Ghost. I'm like, when I got the Holy Ghost, nobody had to tell me that's it. It hit me in the top of my head. It went through every part of my body. It shot out my fingertips and out my toes. And I was only 14 years old. But nobody had to tell me, that's it. I think that's the Holy Ghost. I knew that was the Holy Ghost. I felt him when he came. He came in the top of my head and he went out the bottom of my feet. But he never left me. I knew immediately he had touched me and he had changed me. I'm afraid the church has gotten too far away from the upper room. And in many cases, we're unwilling to position ourselves and seek God and pay the price to get the power.
Much of the church world has been criticized and made fun of. Much of the church world has criticized. Now listen to what I'm saying. Much of the church world has criticized and made fun of any manifestation of the Spirit and expressions of the Spirit, of excitement or joy. And they have just called it unnecessary emotionalism. Now, I went to Mr. Google. I said, Mr. Google, how do you define the word fire? Mr. Google answered me, combustion. Fire is defined as combustion or burning in which substances combine chemically with oxygen from the air and typically give out bright light, heat, and smoke. In other words, there is a manifestation. Number two, a burning sensation in the body. I like that one right there. You can't tell me. You've got this baptism of Holy Ghost and fire, but you never feel it. You can't tell me. You've got this Holy Ghost fire, this river of living waters on the inside of you, this fire on the inside of you, but you can't feel it. It don't sometimes get in your feet. It don't ever get in your hands. It don't sometimes get in your tongue. It don't sometimes get on your head and start working itself down your body. I'm telling you, the one indisputable fact about fire is this. It changes things. Things don't burn without heat. When the fire of the Holy Ghost starts burning, things heat up. Look at your neighbor and said, you got something you can feel. I got a Holy Ghost I can feel. If you didn't get a Holy Ghost you can feel, you might not have got Jesus' baptism. You might just have John's baptism. And John's baptism is good, but Jesus' baptism comes with fire. Oh, hallelujah. Look at somebody and say, I got the fire with my baptism. Yeah. In Acts chapter 19, the Bible says the apostles, they came upon some believers and they asked him, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? They said, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Well, the apostles knew immediately that they hadn't been baptized by Jesus yet. Because if they'd been baptized by Jesus, they'd have probably said, oh yeah, we got him, and then started speaking in tongues. See, they said, what were you baptized unto? Yeah. Of course, they answered, unto John's baptism. Oh, yes, said the apostles. John's baptism was under repentance. And that's good. You need to be baptized under repentance. But you need to be baptized by Jesus. Yeah. So when they baptized them unto Jesus, Jesus baptized them with the Holy Ghost and fire, and it says the Holy Ghost came upon them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. They didn't have to tell them, that's it, I think you got it. Immediately, when the Holy Ghost came upon them, they began to speak with tongues and prophesy. I'm very concerned today that much of the church has stopped at John's baptism and haven't even got one little bit of fire. And sadly, I'm not just talking about nominal churches. I'm talking about Pentecostal churches, full gospel churches. That they, it seems like they're satisfied with John's baptism. Just a little fire insurance to make sure they're not going to go to hell, but they don't want the fire here. I don't know about you, but I need some Holy Ghost fire. Amen. I need some fire power. Amen. I need the power that comes from on high. Amen. To tell you something about Samson and these foxes that he caught. He caught 300 foxes. Tied their tails together and set them on fire. and ran them through the Philistines' fields. Without the fire, these foxes were little more than a nuisance to the Philistines. But when Samson set their tails on fire, they became the Philistines' worst nightmare. And I'm going to tell you something today. It's not legislation. It's not policies. It's not laws that's going to put this nation back on its feet. It's a church on her knees that will take a hold of the horns of the altar and tell God, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. I'm not going to let you go until you baptize me with the Holy Ghost and fire. Lift your hands and say, we need the Holy Ghost. Say, we need the fire. Say, I want the Holy Ghost and fire. Say, baptize me, Jesus. I feel something in the house. I feel some fire starting to burn. Glory to God. I feel some instantaneous combustion starting to happen in somebody. When the church gets on fire, you don't have to beg them to praise and worship God. When the church gets on fire, you don't have to plead with them to read their Bibles. When the church gets on fire, you don't have to beg them to witness. They'll witness everywhere they go. You won't have to tell them, please invite somebody to church. They won't be able to contain it. I'll tell you something about this. Not only is a fireless church no threat to hell. I'm going to say something. But a fireless church is no friend of heaven. Not only is a fireless church no threat to hell, but a fireless church is no friend of heaven. What am I saying? I'm going to make it real clear. There won't be any dead, dry, formal, listless, indifferent, lukewarm church in heaven. Because Jesus has already told us, I'm spewing the lukewarm out of my mouth. What does that mean? Well, I've tasted sour milk in my mouth. And as soon as I taste it, I spit it out. I'm telling you, I spit it out. Pam will tell you, I got a good nose, man. I open up that carton, I will not take a drink out of it before I smell it. I will not. I won't take a drink because I did it one time. And it got down about this far. But it didn't stay down. It came back up. And I said, I'm not going to do it. I smell that milk. And if it stinks, I pour it out. Pam said, that milk's good. I said, it can't be no good. It don't smell good. You know, the problem with me is I've been burned already. I already tasted sour milk. I know what it tastes like. I don't like it. I don't want it in my belly. So I spit it out. That's what Jesus said. I'm spitting out the lukewarm church because they're not fit for consumption. Because I don't want them to make me sick at my stomach. And so he said, I'm going to get rid of this. And it's good for nothing but the trash. In Isaiah 59 and 19, the Bible declares that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. How many know the enemy is coming in like a flood in this nation? There is no doubt he is coming in like a tsunami into this country. But God says, I will raise up a standard against him. And I know the word of God is a standard, but I believe that the Holy Spirit himself will be the standard. The Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard. And that standard will be the Holy Ghost himself living on the inside of you, living large and in charge on the inside of the believer and praying out through the believer and living his life through the believer. If you don't pray in the Holy Ghost every day, you better get with the program. Say you got to pray every day. like your life depends on it, because it does. Beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. How long has it been since you prayed in the Holy Ghost? How long has it been since you just said to the honey, honey, I gotta go. I gotta pray. Don't bother me. Don't call me for dinner. I gotta pray. I can't be visiting. I gotta pray. And you just got in your room alone with God and began to pray and pray in tongues for an hour or two. Hallelujah. It'll be the best thing you ever done. It'll shift you into a whole nother dimension. The devil won't understand a word you're saying. He'll get mad as a hornet. Hallelujah. And you'll start getting charged up on the inside. You'll come out of that prayer room and you'll know something has happened to me. Something has happened. Beloved, build up yourself on your most holy faith. The early church was commissioned with fire. They were all in one place. The Bible says, Acts 2:2-4. One accord, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues of fire, and it sat upon them. Everybody say, you need the Holy Ghost,
you need the Holy Ghost
to sit down on you. I don't know. You know, you've got your imagination. I've got mine, right? I have permission to use my imagination, right? And you have permission to use yours, right? So maybe your imagination sees it this way. And cloven tongues, like as fire, appeared unto them and set upon each of them. Maybe this is your imagination. Cloven tongues. Maybe that's for you. Maybe that works. But I got permission to use my imagination. I don't see it that way. I see those cloven tongues of fire showing up and then going and just engulfing each one. And every time it came upon them, they were a ball of fire. They were just, each one looked at it and went, because it was so powerful. Now, maybe that's not the way that it happened, but it could be. It could be. I kind of think it might have been. Because my Bible says, our God is a consuming fire. I just kind of think it might have been that way. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And it changed their lives. It turned them into a mighty fighting force. And here's what the result was. Verse 33. And with great power, the apostles gave witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. You got to understand, these were the same people that not many days before were locked up in a room all by themselves, afraid that the soldiers would find them after Jesus was crucified. Now when the Holy Ghost has came and they've been baptized with the Holy Ghost, it says, and with great power and with great authority gave the witnesses, the apostles, witness of the resurrection of Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. And then it comes down to chapter 5 and verse 12, and it says, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. Jesus operated under a Holy Ghost and fire anointing. So did his apostles. So did the disciples of the early church. And I'm persuaded that nothing less than a Holy Ghost and fire baptism is going to give us the power we need to fulfill Christ's ministry today. To heal the sick, to cleanse the lepers, to cast out devils, to open blind eyes, to unstop deaf ears, to deliver the oppressed,
and set the captives free. That's the occupation of the church. He said, occupy till I come. This is kingdom business.
Amen.
I plan on going to heaven when Jesus comes. I plan on that. But I plan on treading on serpents and scorpions until he comes. It is my plan. It is my plan that when Jesus comes, he's not going to have to pry me out of my lazy boy. He's going to have to pull me off of the battlefield.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. I'm not of us. Come on, raise your hand. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. Raise your hands and bless him in this house. Say thank God for the Holy Ghost. Say thank God for the fire of the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the baptism of fire. Come on, stand to your feet all over this house. I feel like God is doing something in this house today. I don't know about you. I tell you, I need a fresh baptism of fire. I need a fresh baptism of fire. I believe the Holy Ghost is here right now. I believe Jesus is here right now. I believe that if you ask it, he will baptize you afresh with the Holy Ghost and fire. And you'll get the whole package. Woo! Shatalamasata. Come on, lift your hands and tell him, Jesus, Jesus, I need fresh fire. Jesus, I need a baptism of fire from on high. Lord, let your anointing fall in this house. Let your power fall in this house. Let the fire of the Holy Ghost come. All consuming fire. All consuming fire of the Holy Ghost come and fill every vessel. Consume us, Lord. Consume us, Lord. Burn us up, God. Set us on fire, God. Until our lives are burning with your presence. Until we feel the burning sensation of your presence and your power within every part of our being. Oh, Holy Ghost, come and consume us. Oh, I can't do it without you. I can't make it. I can't make it without you. I gotta have your power. I gotta have your anointing. I gotta have your fire. I gotta have it. I gotta have it, Jesus. I gotta have it. Everybody say it's in the Bible. Yeah, it's in the Bible. I want everything in the Bible. I'm going to say this and we're going to pray. As crazy as it may sound, with all the crazy things that are happening around us, I'm going to tell you what I believe. I believe that this is a divine kairos moment, which means, the word kairos means a spiritual opportunity at the right time. Instead of moaning and murmuring and complaining about everything that's wrong, what we should be doing right now is positioning ourselves in this kairos moment for a fresh baptism of Holy Ghost and fire. Every new season calls for a fresh anointing. In Psalms 92, David said, "But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil." Fresh oil. Fresh oil. Come on, lift your hands. Just ask him right now. I need fresh oil, Lord. I need that fresh oil, God. Oh, God, I need it. God, I need it. I confess to you, I need it, Lord. Lord, I need it, God, for the battles that we fight today. I need it. For the warfare that we're going through today, I need it. For the devils that we are facing, I need it. I cannot make it without your power. I cannot make it without this anointing. And I need a fresh anointing today, God. I need fresh oil. I need fresh oil. For
For the Lord would say, I see the attacks, I see the warfare, and I see the level of warfare in the earth. I see what the devil is doing. I know what he has planned. You can see what he's doing, but I know what he's planned. And the Lord would say that I will not be embarrassed by the devil. I will not be embarrassed by what he does. For it is true that for a time it seems that he is winning. But this is always so, because I allow the enemy to go until he runs out. But then, says the Lord, it has always also been so that I will move my power, and by my power I will move in such a way that I will eradicate even the tracks that he has left behind him. I will move in such a way that it will look as though the evil that he has done has never been done. I will move in such a way that when you get across, you won't even have mud between your toes. There will be no evidence that you went through what you went through. For the Lord would say, I'm here today to give you a fresh baptism. I'm here today to give you a fresh anointing. I'm here today to empower you, to put the devil under your feet where he belongs. For he has stood up in your face, but he does not belong in your face. He belongs under your feet. This day, says the Lord, if you will look to me, I will release a fresh anointing and fresh endowment of power upon you, that you will move from this place and you will put that which has been in your face under your feet from this day forward, says the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Oh, what about us, son? I don't know about you, but I want that right now. I need that right now. You know what? You know what I want you to do? I just want you to turn to someone, and I just want you to place your hand lightly on their head and say, Lord, give them a fresh baptism of fire. Just lightly on their head and say, Lord, today, give them a fresh baptism of fire. Lord, give them a fresh baptism of fire. Lord, give this family a fresh baptism of fire. You know the calling, you know the anointing, you know the ministry. You know, Lord, the new territory that they're taking. Lord, he needs a fresh baptism of fire. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Fresh baptism of fire. You child to Israel, Lord, thank you for a fresh baptism of fire. A fresh baptism of fire in the house today. A fresh baptism of Holy Ghost fire. A fresh baptism of fire today. A fresh baptism of fire. For Sister Jillian and Brother Dix, Lord, a fresh baptism of fire. We thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost and power. A fresh baptism of fire in the name of Jesus. The fire of the Holy Ghost, the anointing that destroys every yoke of bondage, the anointing that destroys every yoke of bondage. Devil, you're under our feet in Jesus' name. Woo! Glory to God. Glory to God. Fresh, 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 fresh. Starting to feel some Pentecost getting loose in the house. Shut down the fire. Oh, we thank you for the anointing. We thank you for the anointing. I receive. Yeshalom. Oh, the anointing is in the house today. The anointing is in the house. Oh, we thank you, Lord, for your presence. I feel somebody's getting a fresh baptism today. A fresh baptism. Not by our mind, Lord, by your spirit, God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. How many believe and agree that we're on the verge of something? On the verge of something powerful. Come on, give him a praise. Go ahead. Let's give him a praise. Hallelujah. 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 Father God, we thank you. We praise you. How many feel like today God has done something for you? You feel like he's done something for you? Oh, I feel like he's done something for me today. Our bishop, Chad Buttrey, he says all the time, he says, you're helping me. You're helping me. You're preaching a word that's helping me. I thank God. I believe somebody's been helped today. Somebody's been encouraged today. Somebody's been strengthened today. The devil's going to get some new bruises on his head. How many believe that? He's going to get some new bruises on his head today. You know, I'm going to ask you to do something today. I feel very honored today to have all these special people with us in the house. All these special people, all these guests that have come today. I feel like God brought them here for this day. I want to ask you, everyone, to reach over, take somebody by the hand. We may never meet like this again. We may never see each other again. I don't know. I would like to, but we don't know. But I want to pray that as we leave this place, I want you to pray each one for another, that as we leave this place, God will order our steps to where he wants us to go, to where we can release what we receive from God, so that God can send the fire all over the place. Wherever we go, the fire goes with us. Father, I thank you for each one that is here today. Some we may never see again, Lord, but we've been honored to be with them today in your house, in your presence. And you have spoken a word to us, Lord. And you have not only released a word, you have released an anointing in this house, Lord. And I thank you, God, that you're going to go with us from this place. Order our steps, Lord, in your word, and order our steps as you would have us to walk and where you would have us to go, Lord God. Lead us and direct us and guide us, Lord. God, I thank you for new territory, God, that will be taken, Lord. New territory that will be conquered, Lord, as we leave this place today, God. Bless each one and strengthen each one as they leave this place as soldiers in the army of God. They are released into the battlefield to go forth in the power of your spirit, Lord, and bring forth great victories for the kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Give the Lord a good hand, God. Go ahead. And you're dismissed. God bless you. Thank you for being here.